Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with runner, drummer, author and dancer, Harry Judd. Did you adopt your fabled hanging on tactic in London or not?
I hung on in London, of course. Everyone was hanging on. It was probably my least best hanging on I've done. It was really tough. Well, unfortunately, it was like the last 12K was hanging on.
Yeah.
Even at like 24K, I was thinking, you know, this is going okay. Last 10K, I'm going to try and kick on actually, you know. Yeah. And then about 6-7K later, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. The reality of the marathon bites, me and Ben were saying, like, I spent the first half of the race at mile six. And at mile six, you definitely want to run a marathon as a spectator. You're like, yeah, this looks really easy. Yes. Everyone's having a time of their life. And then went to mile 23 and I was like, the reality of the marathon is
totally
here.
Yeah. Honestly, the first, and everyone says it to you, you know, and I've done a couple of marathons before and it kind of is the same for any distance you do. It always feels easy to begin with. And particularly with a marathon, I cannot believe how much of adrenaline makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. So obviously the marathon's on a Sunday. On a Tuesday, I had this marathon pace effort for 10 minutes, this like training run. 10 minutes marathon pace, 5 minutes off, 10 minutes marathon pace. And in those blocks, I was thinking, how the hell am I going to hold this pace for 3 hours and 10 minutes? That's just not possible. And then the race started on Sunday. And literally for like 15 to 20K, I was like, this is easy. This is literally easy. And, you know, recovery runs, when you're running slower, they say you should be able to hold a conversation. I could hold the conversation at 4:30. I didn't want to because I didn't want to waste my energy. But someone tried to talk to me at the beginning. I was,
No,
I was literally going, I think it was Danny Mills, actually. Footballer. He's a good runner. And he was like chatting to me. I was like, nah, shush. So it's weird how adrenaline, like you sort of feel shaky. It's much like playing a gig. You know, when you do go on stage, the effect of the adrenaline is that the songs feel so slow.
Right, okay.
So particularly as a drummer, when you're controlling the tempo, like when we use a click track, right? So it kind of keeps me in time and if you have stuff on track, but I just like playing to this click. It's metronome in my ears. And when we didn't have that at the beginning and you watch a gig back, I play the songs so fast. And then times where like, well, I've got a click track and I'll start, we start the song, I'm like, it's the wrong track. They're playing, this is too slow, what's happening? But it's because of the adrenaline. So same thing happens in a race. And yeah, so for like, and that's the skill, is just trying to hold back, you know, because that first bit genuinely does feel easy.
Do you ever have like a beating that you run to? Do you like metronome your own head? Do you like?
No, I don't. I just kind of, I don't know, you know, it's different for each kind of distance, isn't it? For a marathon, you kind of, the first half, I feel like you're just concentrating, trying to stay relaxed. And then, as we talked about, the famous kind of hanging on.
Yeah, the second half.
No, so I saw my family at mile 13.
Right.
And I had cat backwards. I was kind of on pace.
Got this.
Yeah, like doing a bit faster than my K splits, you know. But I was like, I feel fine. I'm going to stick with this pace. I might get a 3:08 here, you know. And this is what was going through my head. And then they crossed over the road and saw me at mile 22. Cap was forward. I was just apparently just shaking my head from side to side, just like no. Yeah, it was hard.
Because you're getting close now to sub three, though. I mean, it's 3:14, wasn't it?
3:14 is what happened, and I'm happy with that. I think before that, if you told me that was my time, I would have been a bit, you know, disappointed maybe. But you know, I'm sure as everyone that's done a marathon, has anyone ever had a block of training where it goes smoothly?
No.
No.
Exactly. And frustratingly for me, it wasn't injury, it was illness. I got ill twice and I missed 3 weeks. And with the illness, much like injury, you can't just jump straight back into your training schedule. You've got to build back up. And so, no, I'm happy with 3:14, really happy. And also when you're in the last 5K, I'm kind of thinking like, you know, hold on. And I just want this to be over.
Yeah.
I don't really care what time I get. As long as I know I get to the end and feel like I couldn't have gone any faster.
Hung on as much as you could.
Literally as much as I could. And it also, it started getting hot around the time I finished.
Yeah.
So, you know, thankfully, I think for those of you that were around, you know, 3 hours to 3.5, you kind of got the best weather.
Mm. Right.
It then started to get really hot.
Yeah.
So I was very grateful.
That does make a difference. If we rewind it back to the start of the running experience for you, your running, you know, how you got into it.
You did
a bit of running previously. Kind of more probably known as a guy who went to the gym.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
But how did running start proper for you? When did you...
Well, properly, it was towards the end of lockdown. Mm. So I got into exercise when I was about 26. So I loved sport, you know, at school. Mm. I ran a bit at school, but I was into like cricket and hockey and, you know, rugby and that sort of stuff. So I didn't do much running at school. And I got into exercise at 26, and it was, you're right, it was gym stuff, you know, and for like 9-10 years, I was someone who went to the gym. But for the last couple of years of that, or 3 years, it wasn't a very fun experience because I'd slipped a disc in my neck and my lower back. I've had a disc replacement in my neck. So lifting weights became very unenjoyable and pretty painful as well. And I found I couldn't do any lower body exercises because it would flare up my lower back. And then towards the end of lockdown, I just started running a bit. And I noticed that the pain I was getting was kind of disappearing. Mm. And now the problem I've had with running in the past, because I liked to go into the gym, but I would run. The problem I had was I would run for like a sort of couple of months maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm quite competitive and like to push myself. And I would go out for like a 5K or a 10K and I'd see what time I did.
Yeah.
And then next time I go out, I'd be like, right, I'll try and beat it. Yeah. And that would last for about 8 weeks. And to the point where I'd be scared to go for a run.
Because
I'm like, I'm about to go through hell here.
Yeah.
And so I just would then stop running. I mean, I did the last marathon I did was 2013. And as soon as that marathon finished, I didn't run for about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
It was actually Park Run that got me back into it because it gave me that buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm personally, I love running for several different reasons, but a goal is what really motivates me.
Yeah.
You know, PBs. I'm all about PBs. Yeah. And but again, with the Park Run thing, I was still training in the week for it. I did about 4 or 5, but it was all kind of painful and it was like, this is scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, back end of lockdown, started going for runs. Started off in that same process, killing myself and collapsing after a 10K. And then I kind of connected with this this guy who I kind of knew at school through Strava. He was kind of commenting my runs and stuff, being like, great running, Juddy. And I was like, I remember that guy. Yeah. I used to play sport against him. And he was like, do you want to go for a run? And I was like, it's a bit weird. Like, I don't really know him, you know? But I was like, well, I'm running on my own. I thought, well, why not? So I went down to Bushy Park. I met up with him, super nice guy. We're now really good friends.
Yeah.
And he was doing this kind of interval session with another friend. And I loved it. And I was like, how did you know what to do? And he's like, oh, we've got a coach. I thought, oh, that's cool. And I was so buzzed from the session we'd done.
Yeah.
I was literally in the car driving home from Bushy Park, calling this charity I'm an ambassador for. I was like, I'd love a place in the marathon. Like, I've been wanting to, you know, raise some money for them. And I was like, give me the coach's number. And within 10 minutes, I was on the phone to her. And that was it. And basically, the coaching method is more sustainable.
Mm. Yeah, so the easy running.
The easy running. Yeah. So she introduced me to these recovery runs, which took me a while to get my head around.
Yeah.
I was going out doing like a sort of 5:20, 5:30 pace. And I'm calling her afterwards being like seriously, I think you're underestimating me.
Doing anything?
Yeah, I'm like, I can run so much faster than this.
I'm just like, to clarify, your coach is Steph Davis.
Yes, Steph Davis.
Olympian.
Olympian. There's me, 1 week into running. Steph, I think you've kind of got this whole running thing a bit wrong.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, trust me. And I was just like, I don't get this whole recovery run thing. And so I kind of did a bit of research. And then also after you've done, after I'd done some of her actual training sessions, I then was like, oh, okay, I'm looking forward to my recovery run.
Yeah.
And sometimes the recovery runs feel like the hardest because you've worked so hard.
It's an art learning that pace control, though, to slow. Slow yourself down. Like, that's one of the biggest things when we're talking to people about. No, you've got to run like, you know, six minute Ks or 9 minute miles or 10 minute miles, whatever it is. And I was like, that sounds hard. And it is, you've got to like really, you know, shorten your stride length and like manage your effort and all these sorts of things.
So it is hard. And I think it's a battle of the ego as well. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like everyone's quick to get on Strava and be like, recovery run.
Very easy.
Very gentle recovery pace. I haven't mastered the art of that. I'm still trying. Yeah. Having Steph as a coach has been amazing. She's awesome. And obviously, it's not only great having her because she's an Olympian. Mm. Yeah. You know, we all kind of, her clients look up to her, but she's a brilliant coach as well. And so that has been the main difference to why now I've been running for about a year and a half.
Yeah, and enjoying
instead
it.
Of like, yeah, instead of like yeah. 1 month and giving up. Yeah, absolutely. And I haven't been to the gym for a year. Yeah. Haven't lifted a weight for a year. I've gone full circle. I'm like, I now want to lose any size that I gained from weight training because I want to get faster with running. But I think that's kind of... that's just kind of my obsessive.
Have you done any sort of like mobility stuff? We always bang on about this,
strength and conditioning.
Yeah. Go to the gym, everyone. If you want to run further.
You know what? I started off with good intentions, and I went and saw a strength and conditioning guy. But to be honest, it's time. I have three children, wife, and a job, kind of. And the running, particularly marathon training, it takes up a lot of time.
Sure. Yeah.
And also a lot of motivation. So to get yourself to go to the gym and then do that kind of, don't get me wrong, if I get an injury, I'll kind of do what's needed to get back running. But I just, thankfully, touch wood, I haven't needed to.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would get a bit faster, but I just don't really have the time.
Yeah. And then your back's not a problem?
No, my back's been great.
That's good.
My neck pain, the nerve pain I had from the disc injury and the lower back, running's been so much better for it.
Running cures all ills.
It does.
The hottest take. Do you have a favourite place to run?
Yes, I love running on the river.
Yeah,
absolutely love it. And also Bushy Park. I've been done a lot of sessions down there because it's quite flat as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
someone tried to get me to go for a run in Richmond the other day. I was like,
bit hilly.
Bit hilly. Won't look good on Strava. Very hilly run. Very easy and hilly is what it was.
Deer in way.
Battersea Park's actually great as well. I did some of the long runs in Battersea Park, even though you're doing like a 3K loop. There's something kind of a bit, you know, you get into a zone.
Yeah, and lots of runners out.
Yeah, and you see some great runners. You know, once you get into running, you're sort of following the people on Instagram. You'd be that's so-and-so, and look how fast he's running. I've enjoyed those sort of three places, really.
Yeah. Do you now, when gigging, take running kit with you?
Yeah, always.
And drag the band out?
Yeah, I have actually, And since I've been running, that's been one of the most amazing things is wherever we've gone traveling to like do a gig or this year we went to Brazil.
Yeah.
Obviously I'm running, you know, my band can't interrupt my running schedule, obviously. Like we went to Brazil, we landed in Sao Paulo, and one thing I found obviously with jet lag is exercise is a brilliant way of tackling that and running even more so. And the first day in Sao Paulo, I dragged the band out to this park and we all did a little 5K and it was great. It was a real vibe. And then we did another one. Dougie dropped out for the second one. I think Danny, he likes exercise and football and stuff. He hates running. Yeah. Tom's not a bad runner, but I think it's that thing. If someone's there motivating you and then people get dragged along, it's like anything. You can kind of feel a bit embarrassed if you don't do it or whatever it is. But if someone's going, come on, it doesn't matter how fast you are, let's just go, then it's a really fun thing to do.
Drummer's got to be the fittest member of a band, haven't they?
I feel the pressure then I have to continue to be the fit. Unfortunately, I'm not the strongest anymore.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
The running has definitely taken over. But so even if we're in the UK, wherever we are, it's an amazing way to actually go out and see a city or countryside or whatever. And that's something that I'd never you know, I'd go and visit the gyms in the cities, but now it's, I go somewhere, I think, oh, where could I go for a run?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely be packing that. Got my road shoes.
My road shoes.
But I need my trail, maybe, because where we're going has got that little bit down there.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And if we're going to do a session, I might want my race shoes. And then by that point, you've got the extra suitcase.
Well, I've got a new suitcase, honestly. And because I ordered one and I did a practice pack.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I need running shoes.
Spikes.
Yeah, spikes. I was like, I need all my running gear, and then I'll need my stage shoes as well.
Yeah.
And then I need my stage clothes, my running clothes, you know. So I've had to get a slightly bigger bag.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Have you found that running's made you happier as well?
Definitely. I think it's made me more annoying, for sure.
Because
all
given.
I talk about is running.
Yeah.
I literally get into the studio, and also post-run, you're always buzzing, aren't you?
Right, yeah.
It's like, how do I slip this into conversation? I've genuinely found myself being like, I've got the marathon next week. So, or this week. I did the marathon last week. Yeah. So, and obviously...
Can I have the chair?
Yeah, exactly. So, what's the question? I just found myself.
Because we often talk about like running,
happier.
Helping make people happier and mental health and that sort of stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because I really feel that, you know, post-run endorphins, but not just the post-run kind of endorphins, because you don't always get that.
Yeah.
But it's the, for me, it's that sense of achievement, you know, and having something alongside your career and family that is for you, and is also you're kind of pushing yourself a bit.
Yeah.
And that's not always obviously exercise for people. That could be learning a language or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But running has really fulfilled me in that way.
Yeah.
And kind of, I don't know, there must have been something missing. I think the gym kind of did that for me.
Yeah.
But when it wasn't just the pain and injuries of the gym, I was also just kind of getting bored. And it was like, what's the goal here?
Yeah. Mm.
Not that I'm suggesting I completed it, but I was just kind of like getting a bit like, yeah. So, definitely has made me happier. And that's one of the main reasons I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find there's comparables between doing a gig and being on stage and that sense of achievement when you come off and like a race and like the effort that goes into all these things? Because you've got to practice in a band, you've still got to be tight, you've got to like work towards these things. And you guys played Glastonbury this year
for the first time. Yeah.
So, you know, there's like these sort of like benchmarks career-wise and running-wise. Do you see any parallels between the two? Do you get the same sense of achievement?
In some ways, there's definitely parallels.
Yeah.
It's different because one thing I get from sport that you don't get from music is competition.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's, you know, you could suggest there's competition between other bands and stuff, but not really.
Yeah.
There's certainly parallels in terms of practice. But I love the kind of the competition element of exercise and obviously in this case running. And that's something that I think doesn't fulfill me in terms of music.
Yeah.
My bandmates are all, you know, I feel were born to be musicians and that was what they were born to do. And they are absolutely amazing at it. You know, Tom and Danny have been playing guitar since they were like four and could sing from that age.
Yeah.
And just amazing. Same Dougie, just obsessed with music. Still, like Dougie spends his life just in the studio, writing songs and just playing music. And Danny, same thing. And Tom's always writing books and music, whereas I'm like out running or and I have these little obsessions. Before it was like golf or I love cricket as well. This obsession though has been a year and a half so far. So it's lasting a bit longer than most of them. But for me, I kind of seem to need that competitive element in my life.
As well. Yeah.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's something that running gives me that music doesn't. But yeah, certainly the rehearsal, it's different though with like Glastonbury. It's like with a gig like that, for example, that's like a, you know, bucket list.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
an amazing experience. But the thing with music is you kind of know, I know I'm going to be all right. I know I'm going to get through this set list.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
With running, it's like the unknown. It's like, what time are you aiming for? Well, I'm hoping.
I'm not hoping to finish that song.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So you can get through to the chorus.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of, I guess with doing a gig, you're kind of hoping that you feel relaxed and have a really good time. Because sometimes, depending on how you're feeling, you don't necessarily enjoy a gig. Probably like you won't enjoy a race because you're just not feeling right. You know, the nerves don't disappear and you kind of feel a bit tense throughout the gig. And other times, adrenaline's just flowing and you're just connected with the crowd and you have an amazing time. But yeah, I don't know. I think also the good thing about drumming is everyone assumes that like you're really fit and drumming is so hard, but it, trust me, a 5K full out is way harder than doing
it. I was going to ask how do they compare? Yeah,
because if I sit down at a drum kit, first of all, my coordination is abysmal. So like the idea of holding a rhythm and like doing it properly,
yeah,
I get like awful cramp and like my shins,
the front of the shin.
I don't know, and I'm just like, I give up straight away.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's technique. You've probably tried it with your heel down.
Oh, so okay. You have to lift the whole foot.
Heel up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, some people, there is
quad.
A heel. Well, no, yeah, it just takes away that shin muscle. Yeah, I mean, some people do play heel down and there's different techniques, but I mean, generally, if you play with your heels up, both heels up, then it takes away that shin pain. Obviously, over time, the certain areas that need to be strong for drumming do build up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, as we get older, I mean, look, I'm 36. I'm not young anymore. But
you're the youngest person on this podcast.
Am I? Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think it is very physical.
Yeah, you know.
But it's not just the actual physicality of it. It's the nerves, the adrenaline, and everything. So,
well, look, hold that thought because Ben's actually made a quiz.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Now, if there's one thing that we do well on this podcast, it's last-minute research. So, this is a quiz. It's called Rummer. It's called Runner or Drummer.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the name.
Yep.
And a possible running distance or musical influence. And you have to guess what it is. So, number one, Steve Prefontaine, middle distance runner or jazz drummer?
I've heard of the name. I'm going to go Runner.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kent Stacks, ultra runner or punk drummer?
Got to be a punk drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little fact, he was the drummer of Scream and he was replaced by a young Dave Grohl.
Really?
Yeah, I learned
that. That's a good
start. Research, right?
Yeah, good
great
research.
Quiz. Great
so
quiz.
Far. So far,
brilliant.
Great
so far.
Alison Felix, sprinter or heavy metal drummer?
Sprinter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gave that away in your face.
Also the most decorated female and track and field athlete in Olympic history.
Yeah, I knew that. Guys, yeah.
Billy Cobham, fell runner or jazz drummer?
Jazz drummer.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Yeah. He's good, isn't he?
Really good.
Yeah.
Billy was inducted into the Modern Drummer Hall of Fame in 1987 and the Classic Drummer Hall of Fame in 2013. Maureen Tucker, trail runner or rock drummer?
Trail runner.
Ooh, rock drummer.
Ooh, I was trying to be so confident with my delivery.
Velvet Underground.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Moe Tucker.
Emil Zatopek, long-distance runner or prog rock drummer?
He is a long-distance runner.
Yes.
Pretty good. Five out of six.
That's not bad.
Five out of six.
Harry Judd now. Runner or drummer?
Well, both.
Both.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Oh, well, what a quiz. Thanks, mate. About a six. Thanks, guys.
Well, very quickly, what's the next running goal for you then? If it is it another marathon or is it something shorter?
I think it'll be a marathon. The marathon I'm hoping to do in April again, and then you know, in between, hopefully a couple of other shorter races. But I mean, ultimately, I've kind of, you know, set the stall out. I want to go sub three at some point. So I did two marathons. I did one in 2008 and one in 2013, and I didn't really train properly. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
This time, it's the first time I've trained properly. And yeah, 3:14. So I was pretty happy with that. And I think, yeah, I'd like to go sub three. Yeah. I don't know if it'll happen next time. My prediction is I'll go around 3:05 and then...
Yeah, maybe that's true. But you get a marker down like that and then you start really believing because you're like, I only have to take, what, 3 or 4 minutes off. Then
yeah,
it's like,
exactly. Yeah. I just feel determined. I just want to be 60, 70 years old and be like, oh, I ran sub three once. That's what I want. Yeah. You know.
And then were there chunks of this race where you go like, that's a missed minute? Can you look back at it now and reflect and be like, yeah, there was that bit? Or
I think it was more actually, annoyingly, the fact that something I'd say to everyone before is that my first half was 1:35 and then my second half was like 1:39. So I reckon if I'd set out for a 3:12 pace, then I probably would have achieved that maybe.
Yeah.
But it was, the first half, I saw this girl come past me that's been one of Steph's clients as well. And I know she's faster than me. Yeah. And she went past me and I thought, I feel great. I could go with her. But I didn't. But I still, my watch, I kind of do kilometer splits because, I mean, everyone seems to do mile splits. I mean, it makes sense.
Both. Yeah, but
I don't know my mile splits, but for me, kilometers, they tick over quicker, right?
Yeah. You're cheating yourself and you convince everything and you go, like, I've done another one, great, here I go.
And I was supposed to be, for 3:10, it's around like 4:30. But like, I was clocking 4:20s, 4:25s. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, I'm banking time here and I feel fine. This is great. I can allow myself a 3:35 later. Yeah. But I was trying to pull it back to, 4:27s, 4:28s. So yeah, that's the only place where I felt like I lost minutes was
just pacing.
Yeah. And also when my watch was ticking over for the kilometers, it was like 18K and I'm like, great. And then I look up and then like 100 meters ahead of me is the 18K mark. And I'm like, that's something I didn't think about really.
Were you wearing the Nike shoes?
I was, of course I was.
We were saying they could make a Vapor McFly. Imagine that.
You should have a word with them. Yeah.
He was really happy with that joke.
As you should be.
Yeah, I was going to open with it. I thought, it might go down badly.
Yeah, a bit punchy. No, I mean, I wonder like whether a 3:14 marathon runner should be wearing Vapor Flies, but I kind of...
I think it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my I've been training in them. I mean, they're great for, I've noticed for a 5K. I haven't done a 10K for nearly a year now. So I'm looking forward to doing that and seeing what I can do for that. Yeah. But I actually put a lot of prep into my outfit for the marathon, more so than I do for stage.
No, I like that.
Literally, I think my bandmates get so annoyed with me because they look great. I'm on the drums. No one can see my bottom half.
I'm in shorts.
I've been wearing my running cap on stage for the entirety of this summer, by the way.
That's not... But the thing is, the kit, psychologically... has to be on point. It really is a great motivator. Like the moment you look good at a start line and you feel comfortable and it all fits right and you're all ready and if you've got a charity and it's printed
properly.
Yeah,
the anxiety of printing my name on with the iron the night before, it was all like, and like lining it up. Honestly, when I put my number on, I must have replaced the position that number about 10 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I even went down tonight to get, I was like, I wore my vest and my shorts and socks and then went down in, a hoodie and tracksuit.
Right, okay,
Got out the two different colours of shoes, the Vapor Flies, and then tried them on. took my hoodie and trackies off and was like standing in the mirror and people were sort of looking at him thinking, what is he doing?
got a coordination.
I had
to
coordinate it. And also, when I first got this running the Garmin, I changed it to an orange running strap, but I was mainly in black and green.
Yeah.
So I had to order my black strap again. So I felt, I felt
taking
good.
It seriously. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very serious. I think I'll appreciate that effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. More so than the training, to be honest.
One thing I found annoying though, right, was shorts, short options.
Yeah, yeah.
So the running shorts, it's a bit like probably cyclists when, you know, at first it's like, oh, I'm never going to wear the Lycra, but before you know it, you're wearing the Lycra.
Yeah, yeah.
Running, I was like, I'll never wear the short shorts. But now I'm like, how short can
I go? Give me those short shorts.
Yeah, yeah. And I tried them on and showed my wife. She was like,
you can't wear those.
You can't wear them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, no, this is what people wear.
Yeah,
I was
like,
trust me, it's cool. And but I couldn't find a pair that you could fit all the gels in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it just made my bum look, not that that sounds so vain, just made my ass look massive. I had like seven.
All this stuff packed
into and also trying to get to it. So I actually reverted back to some training shorts that had the, you know, the tight
liner
and then the shorts. So that was a bit amateur. I felt like maybe at a 3:14 pace, I should be wearing some shorter shorts.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's the modern half tight is very popular and is for the speedy runner.
Well, so, I wore a half tight for a 5K and I was very excited to get the photos back to post on my Instagram.
And then it's like,
and then it's like,
not safe for work.
I know what the comments are going to be here.
Yeah.
So that was my only issue with the tight.
Mm. That's the main one.
Yeah, reasons I need not bring up.
But they are fast.
Not that I'm ashamed of anything, guys.
No.
It's just more, it looked a bit much.
It's a family channel.
Exactly. You've got to think of my audience.
So of all the sports then, of all the obsessions, the running, the cricket, the golf, what's the one that you want to pass on to the three kids? Which one are you going to push?
All of them.
All
no. Do you know what? My son actually, last week, so the Sunday before the marathon, when Kipchoge ran his world record.
Oh, at Berlin.
In Berlin. I was doing a training run with my phone, like streaming it. And in between intervals, I was kind of like looking, and it wasn't anything crazy because obviously it was a week before the marathon. So that was an amazing moment. I finished my run, watched Kipchoge, and then I sat down in the playground. My kids were there. My wife went home with the baby, so I was with them. And my son, who's five, just was talking about my run that I'd been on and just started running around the playground.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was like, God, he's been going for like 15 minutes. He just hadn't stopped. Yeah, so I was like, hang on, stop, Kit, stop a sec. So I took my watch off, my Garmin off, started his run. Before I knew it, he was actually out of the playground running laps of the park.
Wow.
And it was a really inspiring kind of, emotional, I guess, moment. And he just kept going and going. And he did like, end up doing about 3.5K.
Wow.
And he has been talking about his marathon now.
Nice.
So he's been talking about, so I'm going to take him to a junior park run on Sunday.
Great. Yeah.
And he's been asking, is there going to be, so they also came to the marathon. So he's been asking, is there going to be people watching his marathon? Yeah. Oh, are his legs going to be sore? Does he need a massage gun? You know, he wants a watch, you know. So, but I think he's a bit like me. He's had a drumming obsession. He's had his, you know, builder's obsession.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think I would love for them to play golf and running.
Mm.
Although cricket's my first love, because golf's a bit more like, feels like I'm doing my wife a favor. I'd be like, listen, I'll take the kids out for about 4 or 5 hours and you have a day off. And equally with running, I mean, what a joy to be able to go out for a run with your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been lucky enough that my kids enjoy obviously being on their bikes and I've been up the river with them loads. I did like a 12K run with Kit when he was, you know, 4 and he was on his bike.
Yeah.
It was just such a cool moment. We went to Putney Bridge and the sun was out. Yeah. And yeah, that's been something I've absolutely loved.
Lovely. Yeah, it's been really. You did post the whole family out, a picture of the whole family out on a big training run. And I thought that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, it's been a real, really cool thing. And I think actually, without realizing it, I know someone said to me the other day, that's I hope quite a nice thing for my kids to see that their dad's kind of doing something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
that's nice. Great. Harry, thanks so much for coming on the Runner's World podcast.
Thank you.
Talking about your running. We're looking forward to the sub-3. I'm sure it's going to happen soon.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I'm pretty determined. I've got to just give a quick shout out to the Children's Trust, which was the charity I was running for. I see the interesting thing, just quickly as well, I see a lot of people, and I do understand, but I see a lot of people giving, and I never refer to myself as this, but giving celebrities a lot of hate for doing the marathon. It's been interesting, actually.
Mm, yeah, okay.
And mainly from, I guess, the hardcore sort of runners, and that's because they're annoyed that celebrities are maybe given a place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of the people I saw there who are known are doing it for a charity.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have trained really hard. I think when you're doing something like this, you've got to respect the challenge that you're taking on.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. And I've seen people, not naming any names, that turn up to the marathon for a photo call, and there's good PR opportunity, yeah. and then they take 10 hours to do it. But I was running for a charity, and it is an amazing thing, and it must be incredibly frustrating for people to see that desperately want to get a place. But it's, you know, it's...
But you've got... The thing is, you're in a position where you can attract more attention for a charity's cause.
Well, yeah, I hope so. And also yeah. trying to spread the message of running as well.
Yeah.
You know, running is certainly with like athletics and things. Mm. It's a sport that wants to grow still, right? Mm. And it's such an accessible sport. Anyone can do it. You don't need much equipment. You don't need to be buying Vaporflies. Yeah. eventually, all roads lead to Vaporflies. But but it's trying to hopefully spread a positive message about running. And then anyone can do it. And it's people who even think that they hate running, trust me, have the potential to fall in love with it. And thankfully, I've been able to run for the Children's Trust, which I'm ambassador for, which helps children with brain injuries and neurodisabilities. So, I just wanted to say...
Are you going to do the same thing in April?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, obviously an honour to be asked to be an ambassador for a charity, and I want to do as much as I can for them.
Yeah.
And they're lovely people down there. The staff and the carers obviously put in... Their job is just, you know, it's incredible what they do. Going down and helping these kids that have real brain injuries, it's really tough to see. But also when you're running a marathon and you can kind of resort back to those moments. And, and actually that was one thing that really was one quote that really helped me is, I don't know what the exact quote is, but it's a privilege to feel that pain.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be able to actually physically run
and
to be able to put yourself, because a lot of people can't physically do that or mentally do that. So that would be my thing, that if anyone's about to take on a race or anything, it's remember the pain. It's a pleasure to feel the pain.
Harry, thanks again for coming on. Brilliant.
Thanks for having me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.